Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Madnin!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey Bhante, greetings from San Francisco. How are things at your end in London?
Things are okay, Rohit. This weekend, the snow is back, so it's been slightly gloomy and it's been snowing. Next week, I'm traveling on business in France, so I hope the flights take off on time. But yeah, it's been slightly cold and bleak in Britain and in London this weekend. How are things with you?
Oh, all very well. I got done with one term in terms of our teaching schedule, but we are on a quarter system, so in another couple of weeks, we've got to be up and running, and then there's the end of term stuff, but all good. It's interesting you mentioned this about the weather, because it's been much colder than usual in San Francisco. It's a sunny day today, which is nice, and we'll be stepping out in a bit, but it's much colder, you know, in March this year than it's been in previous years. So for today's story, I thought we'll do something about a different, you know, about the political climate. That's a not very elegant segue, but you shared a story with me about India and Pakistan spies. Or the India and Pakistan diplomatic missions actually doing very petty and mildly scary things to each other. Now, speaking of diplomacy, we know that Britain and the Russia are in a spat because there was a Russian spy. He was actually a Russian who was spying for Britain, and I think he had then been resettled as part of some swap or something in the UK. And Sergei Skripal, and the Russians apparently got to him through this nerve agent, Novichok, which is something that we now know is only developed in Russia, and to weaponize it, again, you need very specific sort of state-backed expertise. So it's a serious issue. Britain has expelled Russian diplomats. Russia has retaliated. So that's, you know, one end of this sort of John Le Carre scenario. Now, India-Pakistan, something else has been happening. Last week, there's been a bunch of stories about how whenever India does something to Pakistan, or the, you know, Indian diplomats are harassed in a certain way in Pakistan, someone tails them or, you know, someone bothers them, Pakistani diplomats in India experience exactly the same. It is total tit for tat. And one of the silly things in this sort of gamut of or range of, you know, tactics to pester the other is that at 3 a.m., people are ringing the doorbells of Indian and Pakistani diplomats and running away. So I just thought, I mean, let me just leave it there and leave it to you to share your thoughts.
Okay. Well, look, let's pick up on the first bit, which is Britain expelling 23 Russian diplomats. And in a tit for tat, Russia has expelled 23 British diplomats. I think that is a huge comic value because, you know, Russia is a much bigger, more powerful nuclear power than Britain. But Britain remains a nuclear power. And, you know, for practical purposes, it's also quite a lot of it plays a central role in European and global economic transactions. So Russia can't completely alienate that. But Putin's kind of aggressive tendencies of going after people he feels are not the right sort in other people in other countries is I'm glad it's been called out purely from a civil society point of view that you can't randomly poison people just because you don't like them.
Right.
Doesn't matter what your precedence is. And right. So I'm happy that the British government has stood up and said something like this. But I hope it doesn't escalate into any more than kind of a diplomatic standoff and Russia behaves itself on treating people in foreign soil. Now, turning our attention to doorbell ringing, I think in India-Pakistan diplomatic tit-for-tat, there's probably a pyramid or a hierarchy of hassle, right? At the top end of the hassle is expulsion, which is what has just happened in the Russia-Britain case, you know, like-for-like expulsion. But that's like the very apex of the pyramid. And I'm thinking, as you walk down that pyramid, the gradations probably vary. Then there is monitoring, low-grade harassment, probably people bumping into you while you're doing your grocery, you know, people watching over you, cars, your car being tailed. What you have just introduced of people ringing doorbells at 3 a.m. and running away is at the very, very bottom of the pyramid, right? And I'm just trying to think, in which book of statecraft is this, as a sleep deprivation as a method of extracting information, has been used by security services world over to harass people, you know, distress positions, keep depriving them of sleep. But in diplomatic exchanges, this has got to be a first, that, you know, at 3 a.m. a doorbell is rung and you answer the door and nobody's there. And I was thinking, actually, the nuisance value of something like this is pretty high, because if somebody rings the doorbell, you will have to answer it, because, you know, you never know what's...
Yeah, it's the middle of the night and, you know, it's it could induce some fear and so on.
And the other thing, so there is obviously fear. Then there's the other thing that, you know, if you're sleeping in your pajamas, you're in a particular state of undress, as it were. Let's be polite. So then you have to put on a housecoat or make yourself presentable to confront the world outside. Now, this being said, I know there is a tradition in India to, you know, sleep in the summers with very little on. So... the mind boggles at the possibilities of how do you prepare yourself for a, you know, 3 a.m. rendezvous at your doorstep when somebody rings the bell. But the nuisance value of this is phenomenally high. So I think there is something in that. So has this, is this India doing this to Pakistani diplomats or Pakistan doing this to Indian diplomats?
No, it is both. It is both. And in the international press, I think The Guardian put it well as something called, they call it ding-dong diplomacy. So... But see, so I have a couple of questions. I mean, I'm, you know, you made like a lot of very excellent, like practical points. Now, one question I have is that diplomats, even, you know, diplomats who are sort of, not very high up, they, wouldn't they live in some kind of gated compound with some security? Especially given that it's, you know, India and Pakistan and Pakistan and India, given that we fought three wars, we've got this complicated history. So this is not like, you know, Adhunika cooperative housing society where we used to, you know, run around ringing the doorbell and run off, right? So, so where, I mean, where are these doorbells being rung? Wouldn't there be some security guard or wouldn't there be a gate? You know, so that is a question that, you know, occurs to me. And secondly, I'm assuming that there'll be some kind of, you know, CCTV or, camera, unless, you know, the living conditions that are provided to diplomats in the other country aren't very good. I mean, I think the Pakistani diplomats still, you know, they still get to live in the nicer parts of Delhi. The advantage of this, though, is that, yes, there is an, I don't want to trivialize the fact that, you know, someone ringing a doorbell at like 3 a.m. could be quite alarming. But between training people to carry out, you know, suicide mission, I mean, it would, you know, really, Lashkar-e-Toyba, if training camp is teaching people how to ring doorbell and run away, that is a positive development, I would say.
I think you make a very wise point, Rohit, that, you know, if it is essentially, we've got a situation where the most violent act is that of ringing the doorbell, I think this is a really positive development. And I think rather than... be critical of it, we should welcome it. And I think if India-Pakistan relationships going forward are reduced to ringing and more doorbells and the doors not being opened at a domestic level, I think it's a good metaphor. It's better than bullets being fired and people being killed. So I think if there's a very that, you know, if the sum of harassment is, you know, ringing the doorbell. And I think it, what would escalation count in this scenario? putting a nasty note through the letterbox or ringing the doorbell and
maybe,
putting something through.
Know, it's just saying that katti ho gai, I will not be your friend, and you know.
The thing is, this is an odd story to talk about in light of this whole Russia-Britain diplomacy thing, because, you know, there are grown-up people who have been asked to leave the country at a week's notice in Moscow and in London. And I think in India and Pakistan, it's similar level, but, doors. I think maybe the other thing that could happen is your observations around CCTV and gated compounds. Maybe it's an inside job. You know, maybe if on the Indian side somebody's doing this, maybe there's a specially trained darwan whose only job is to go into that compound, ring the bell and run away.
Yeah.
And he's not apprehended, right? So he's a special operative.
Yeah.
And Pakistan may... So if then he's asked, if you see this guy on CCTV, have you seen him? No, I haven't. Okay. And the next time somebody else does it, it's a different person altogether. But I think the comic value in all of this is very, 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 very high if people are apprehended.
They can also be moles, you know, like imagine the domestic staff. If it's a member of the domestic staff who's doing it themselves, you know, that's the complication, right? So it's
so you mean a double agent, like a Pakistani
double agent. Yeah. You know, you have like some domestic help, and you know, sometimes Indian diplomats take their own domestic help with them, but you know, sometimes you'll get a gardener or a chauffeur who is provided, you know, is from the local population. So if that is the double agent who's actually ringing the doorbell, then the plot really does get thicker and thicker.
I think you've raised a very interesting point, Rohit. The employment opportunities in New Delhi within embassies, right, is a very sought-after, heightened kind of form of employment, because a couple of things happen. You get paid in foreign currency, which is not taxed.
Yeah.
My sense is that because, you know, maybe I'm wrong, Rohit, that maybe actually you do get taxed. You do have to kind of, that income is taxable. But, you know, you get easy access to travel, being exposed to other cultures just by doing a secretarial administrative job. With that same skill set, if you were trapped in like Polar Pankha or, you know, Viko Vajradanti, you know, with that same skill set, you could have been doing a completely dead-end job. So I think Delhi offers quite a lot of people this kind of embassy employment.
Right.
And it starts from the secretarial grade, and as you've pointed out, it goes to chauffeur, gardener. And then there's a certain cachet to say that, you know, I was a chauffeur for the Swedish embassy, or I was, you know, the gardener for the American Deputy High Commissioner. And then that person, you know, I'm hoping that person makes a living out of that 10 years of, you know, heightened service.
It's a good in
the kind of, and there's a diplomatic enclave. I think it's Chanakyapuri or something like that.
Chanakyapuri, and then you know all the Firangs shop at Khan Market, and also it's
correct.
And those are the places where you get like the exotic meats and.
But I think probably to their credit, the Pakistani diplomats probably would blend in more easily into the city of Delhi.
Right.
As would, I'd assume, Indian diplomats in Lahore or Karachi.
Yeah.
Because essentially, you will not stand out unless and until, you know, if you were from another culture. Because, you know, essentially, we are the same people, as in we look and behave the same, we eat in the same places. So, I think it's very easy to blend in each of these countries. Sorry, we've been rambling on for this quite a while, but over to you for the last word and then we can wrap up.
Nothing. I think we just need to update some classic works like, you know, Machiavelli's The Prince and Sun Tzu's The Art of War. Doorbell terrorism or doorbell detente or something of the kind. New chapter needs to be added. I don't have anything else to say on this.
Okay. Well, look, chalo then. This is a good one to talk about. Chalo, okay. Take care. Till next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.